If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
House lawmakers put forward new bipartisan legislation aiming to break up big tech.
Antitrust and big tech seem to be the one area that both the Republicans and the Democrats agree on.
And new revelations about a secret request for Apple records is sparking a probe into the Trump Justice Department. Plus, recent research on how the stress of city noise can have long-term impacts on your health. It's Friday, June 11th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Leaders from the Group of Seven Nations greeted each other in England today to kick off their three-day summit. It's President Biden's first international trip as president. Leaders see the G7 summit as an opportunity to rebuild relations that were bruised during the Trump administration and push back against increasingly assertive authoritarian states like China and Russia. They're also discussing how to combat COVID-19. According to the White House, the leaders have pledged more than 1 billion vaccines to developing countries. We'll have more on the outcomes of the summit in our show on Monday morning. Senate Democrats are calling on former Attorneys General William Barr and Jeff Sessions to testify before Congress about why the Trump Justice Department secretly requested records from Apple relating to communication by specific lawmakers. Our Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman has more details.
Their request follows revelations this week that the Trump administration seized communications records related to people connected to the House Intelligence Committee, which had several ranking Democrats who were very vocal critics of President Trump. So what these Democrats want is information about how that happened, why it happened, under what circumstances, and what investigation this could possibly be tied to. This also comes as the Justice Department's internal watchdog announced today that it too would be investigating the origins of these subpoenas for lawmakers' records. And the watchdog said that he would be looking at whether or not these investigations were opened improperly and whether the Justice Department misused its tools in seeking this information.
Barr said he hadn't been aware of cases in which there were subpoenas related to lawmakers' communications. Boeing is selling unclaimed 737 MAX jets whose buyers walked away from the deals during the pandemic. In recent months, domestic air travel has been on an upswing. According to people familiar with the matter, Boeing has just 10 unclaimed MAX planes left of the 100 the company had stored last July. United Airlines and Alaska Air Group are among the recent buyers. And McDonald's says hackers stole some data from its systems in the U.S., South Korea, and Taiwan. The company says in the U.S., no customer data was breached, but that some business contact information for employees and franchisees was exposed. In South Korea and Taiwan, hackers did steal customer emails as well as phone numbers and addresses for delivery customers. In Taiwan, they also stole employee information. The incident is the latest in a string of cybercrimes against high-profile global companies, but McDonald's said it was not a ransomware attack. Coming up, how Congress is trying to rein in big tech.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Big tech companies have been under a lot of scrutiny in Washington. Google and Facebook are already fighting antitrust lawsuits. Amazon and Apple are under antitrust investigation. Today, a bipartisan group of House lawmakers have put forward bills aimed at reining in the power of big tech. While the bills don't specifically name the companies, only these four meet the parameters. The legislation includes a bill, the Ending Platform Monopolies Act, that would make Amazon and other large companies effectively split into two or shed their private label products. Joining me now with more about the bills and what they could mean for big tech is Wall Street Journal Amazon reporter Dana Mattioli. Hi, Dana. Thanks so much for being here.
Anytime.
So, Dana, you reviewed documents and talked to people ahead of the release of this legislation today. What can you tell us? What have you learned about the various bills here?
There are five bills that are being released today, and they come on the heels of a nearly 2-year investigation into big tech. And the investigation looked at Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. And the learnings of that investigation, you know, informed these bills. And some of them could be pretty earth-shattering for these companies. So two of the bills in particular could be pretty detrimental to Amazon. One of them would mandate structural separation of the company. And in essence, that means Amazon couldn't run this massive online marketplace with hundreds of thousands of sellers and compete against those sellers with their own lines of private labels, goods, and devices like the Echo. So they'd have to figure out if they'd want to spin that off, if they'd want to maybe just stop making those types of products, should this be passed. And there's another one that gets into non-discrimination on platforms, where it really aims to stop self-preferencing from companies that own and operate their own platforms.
So tell us more about congressional reviews of big tech. How do these efforts now fit into that broader picture we're looking at?
Yeah, so in 2019, the Congressional Antitrust Subcommittee launched an investigation of these four tech companies. And over a series of hearings and background conversations and off-the-record conversations, they came to a conclusion that each of the four companies that they looked into had some aspect of monopoly power. And in October, they put out a 400-page report detailing that. And, you know, when you look at the legislation coming out today, that is largely based on the findings of that report.
What kind of signal does this send to big tech companies?
Well, if you look at these bills, they're very narrowly focused on big tech and these four companies. So there are definitions set forth in the bills as to who they might affect. So you have to be a company with a larger than $600 billion market cap. There's really only a handful of companies with that qualification. You have to have 500,000 monthly users. Again, only some companies have that qualification. And there are other, you know, definitions as well. So this is pretty narrowly focused on the big tech companies. And, you know, I think it sends a signal that the status quo isn't working anymore and that there'll be further changes to antitrust review.
Is there any kind of precedent for action like this from Congress?
Years ago, there was the Glass-Steagall Act, and that separated commercial and investment banking. And it's a little bit similar to what this structural separation bill that's targeting Amazon looks at, where Amazon can't, you know, run this massive marketplace where you have third-party sellers selling on it and then also creating their own line of private label products that compete directly against them. So that's probably the closest comp that we have on this.
So Dana, these efforts have bipartisan support, but what is the likelihood of them passing both the House and the Senate?
It's tough to say at this point in time. What we do know is that both Republicans and Democrats signed on to each of the bills. And antitrust and big tech seem to be the one area that both the Republicans and the Democrats agree on. You know, it's obviously very fractured between the two sides, but when you really dig into the details of the business practices of these companies, there is a lot of agreement across the aisle.
So far, the four companies haven't commented on the proposed legislation. All four have defended their competitive practices in the past and said that they operate their products and services to benefit customers. Dana, how do you think they will respond going forward?
It's a little too soon to say right now, but you have to keep in mind that these four companies in particular have massive, massive armies of lobbyists. They spend more than almost any other company in the U.S. on their lobbying power. So you have to believe that behind the scenes, they are starting to get in touch with, you know, the lawmakers and, you know, really engaging their lobbyists and other trade groups.
That's Wall Street Journal Amazon reporter Dana Mattioli. Dana, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, one of the upsides of the pandemic was that cities were quieter. But as the country reopens, the noises are coming back, and they can be annoying. But more than that, there's a growing body of research that the anger we feel from that constant din can have serious health impacts. Dr. Thomas Munzel, chief of cardiology at the University Medical Center in Mainz, Germany, says it triggers the body's sympathetic nervous system, our fight or flight response.
This second way of noise is disturbing your concentration, it's disturbing your sleep, and you're reacting with annoyance. And this means stress for your body.
And that can have lasting consequences.
Lipids go up, blood sugar go up, blood pressure go up. And if you have this for years, you get classical cardiovascular disease like stroke, coronary artery disease, myocardial infarction, and heart failure.
These revelations have spurred research on how to mitigate urban noise and design solutions to quiet unwanted sounds. Our sister podcast, The Future of Everything, dug into it, and you can hear all about it in their latest episode, which is available now. It's a great weekend's listen. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week by Trine Nori and Sam Wastron, with help from Paolo Bossanin, Jenny Ang, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Charlie Turner, Jara Whalen, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.